While the recent Supreme Court ruling on the Affordable Care Act found that a majority of Americans now support President Obama's signature health plan, even bigger majorities support the government-run plans of Medicare and Medicaid, which turn 50 years old today. A new Kaiser poll on the two programs found that more than two-thirds of all Americans support the government-funded health programs. Medicare, which provides health care for all U.S. citizens aged 65 or older, is more popular than Medicaid, which covers health care for poor mothers, children, and the disabled. Today, about 55 million Americans are enrolled in Medicare. Despite its popularity, it has constantly faced attacks, and various attempts have been made over the years to chip away at it. But my guest believes that the best way to make Medicare better is to actually expand it. Dr. Garrett Adams is a longtime pediatrician in Louisville, Kentucky. He is the past president of Physicians for a National Health Program. He just wrote an essay on Medicare entitled "Celebrate Medicare's 50th Birthday by Expanding It to All." Welcome to Uprising, Dr. Garrett Adams.
Thank you, Sonali.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Can you give us a brief history lesson? How exactly did American seniors get health care before Lyndon B. Johnson signed Medicare into law exactly 50 years ago today? I mean, once they were 65 and retired, back then they didn't exactly have much income unless they were super wealthy or had a lot of savings, right?
Well, only 56% of Americans older than 65 were insured on July 30, 1965. So half of them were not insured. Many were in poverty. Medical and hospital care provided to seniors was often given as a charity. Americans generally suffered poor health, and health care disparities were the norm, especially in the South, where hospitals remained segregated. After Medicare was enacted, hospitalizations and physician visits increased. Access to outpatient services expanded. Self-reported health status among beneficiaries improved, and poverty among seniors decreased.
So the Affordable Care Act, when it was rolled out a few years ago, was plagued with computer problems. I'm wondering how much of an undertaking was it to implement Medicare? This was, of course, before the era of wide computer use. How did it do when it was rolled out? Were there hiccups like there were with the Affordable Care Act?
Well, it's very interesting to look at how it happened, because they actually did it with note cards, with handwritten note cards, but they used the Social Security rolls. Everyone was over 65 was enrolled in Social Security already, and so they had a basic principle that virtually everyone 65 and older was automatically eligible for the government health insurance, which was in contrast to the recent complicated and problem-prone private insurance-based ACA, which Affordable Care Act, which is unfolding over a period of 10 years. The original Medicare Act was in place 11 months after, completely in place 11 months after the act was signed on July 30.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. And what impact did it have on seniors once it was implemented? You mentioned half of seniors at that time didn't have health care. With the implementation of Medicare, did you see dramatic changes to quality of life or mortality, a lifespan, et cetera?
Well, absolutely. For example, our life expectancy was about 70 years in 1965. Now life expectancy is 9 years longer. We have that statistic. And self-reported health status among seniors is much improved. One of the most beneficial effects of Medicare at that time was the fact that everyone was included. Everyone 65 years of age and older was included. So this made a dramatic difference in racial disparities, because in order for hospitals to be reimbursed, they had to provide care to everyone regardless of race. So this made a huge difference, particularly in the South, as far as the racial disparities, which were remarkably reduced when everyone, regardless of their color, of their skin, was given the same right and the same health care.
That's an amazing point that often gets missed when people talk about Medicare. Now, there is today predictably large support for Medicare, especially, of course, among those people who use it, people over the age of 65. For those who are younger and don't understand how it works, it's easy to be misinformed and misled, particularly by those in Congress who want to attack it and dismantle it. In a nutshell, what happens when you turn 65 in the country today and Medicare kicks? And how complex a process is it to enroll in it? Or do you not even have to enroll? You sort of automatically get contacted by the government. How does it work?
Well, you are automatically contacted, and that's one of the beauties. It's a very simple, straightforward program that automatically brings into this country a social justice base that can apply to everyone. We are notified by the government that we're eligible and that we can sign up, and well over 98% of Americans accept that offer and that opportunity to enroll and participate.
Now, the New York Times reported that this week, as Medicare and Medicaid turn 50, use of private health plans surges. And I want to quote from the article. Apparently, more than 30% of the 55 million Medicare beneficiaries and well over half of the 66 million Medicaid beneficiaries are now in private health plans run by insurance companies. And that doesn't sound, at least from the on the surface, that Medicare is doing well. How do you respond? Why are so many people having to rely on private insurance even though they're enrolled in Medicare?
This is one of the areas that needs improvement in Medicare. My organization is the Physicians for a National Health Program is celebrating Medicare's birthday. And we have three elements that we're speaking of. One is to protect it, another is to improve it, and the third is is to expand it. So this is an area that needs improvement, because what's happened is that there have been a variety of inroads into traditional Medicare, which basically are trying to privatize Medicare, and many people the health insurance industry is trying to increase their bottom line by selling Medigap insurance and so-called Medicare Advantage plans. The Medicare Advantage plans have had excessive costs in the billions of dollars. I think the figure is $185 billion. Excess cost due to Medicare Advantage. So the privatization of Medicare is a real threat to the program. That's why we want to protect it and to improve it.
And in the Times, in the same article, also reported that this week the White House is using the half-century anniversary of Medicare and Medicaid to portray the Affordable Care Act as a logical extension of the two social insurance programs that are part of the fabric of American life. Is Obamacare really an extension of Medicare?
No, it's not. The problem with the Affordable Care Act, in spite of its efforts as a national program for our health care, and we're grateful for that. And there are positive elements in the Affordable Care Act, but it entrenches the insurance industry and in the health care system in this country. The private health insurance industry is siphons off $400 billion a year, and we could take that $400 billion and put it into care of people, That's what we need to do, rather than letting it go into the coffers of the private health insurance industry. And unfortunately, it's so complex. The ACA is so complex that it really is complicated now, and its effects are going to be hard for us to overcome.
Now, among the attacks that Medicare faces is that it costs too much and that it's adding to the government deficit. Robert Reich, writing in an op-ed yesterday, called that argument, quote, baloney. I'm assuming you agree with him?
Well, I agree with anything that Robert Reich says. One of the most important points that he has made recently is about income inequality in the United States and the effect that it has. And this is a point that I was making earlier about the advantage of Medicare is that it did help to bring us all more equal when it was implemented. And
right. I mean, Medicare essentially has done a lot towards reducing income inequality, even though we don't, you know, make those connections often enough.
Exactly. And that's a very important point. And so yes, I do agree with Robert Reich.
And so specifically, though, when Republicans say that Medicare costs too much money and is adding to the government deficit, there are some simple fixes to any kind of cost issues that Medicare is having, right, that Republicans and even some Democrats refuse to take on.
Well, the only way to really control costs is a single-payer plan. All governments, aside from the United States, have discovered that a single-payer plan is the only way to really control costs, and a number of leaders in the United States as well, financial experts, have come to that conclusion. In order for us to join the family of nations and provide health care for all of our people, we can control costs. We have to get rid of the private health insurance industries, and we have to implement a single-payer plan.
And so that's the heart of your argument, that protecting Medicare essentially means expanding it to everybody. So you're saying expanding it to everybody would actually make the cost overruns of Medicare would actually protect it. And is that because if you do expand it to everybody, you include a pool of people that is likely, you know, that doesn't fall sick as often and so would have fewer costs associated with those patients?
That's right. One large risk pool and the administrative costs would drop from traditional Medicare has less than 2% administrative costs compared to the private insurance companies, which are at 12 to 14%. And with the market overhead, they run 20 to 30% more. So that's where a lot of the cost goes. And if we could recoup that amount, which is anywhere from $400 to $500 billion, it's enough to provide health care for everyone without premiums, without copays, without deductibles, and 95% of Americans would have more money in their pocket, plus they would have complete health coverage for all comprehensive health needs, as well as having less expense and a much simplified way of delivering the care.
So as Medicare is currently set up, there is another area in which it could have at least a piecemeal improvement. It should be allowed to use its massive bargaining power, because of course it has millions of people enrolled in it, to negotiate lower prices from pharmaceutical companies, right? But the Medicare program isn't allowed to do that because essentially Obama sold it out through the Affordable Care Act and assured insurance companies that Medicare wouldn't be allowed to use its bargaining power, its out to leverage for lower prices. This is a problem.
It is a problem, and it's part of the difficulties that we have in our government. this goes back to 2003 when the Medicare Modernization Act was passed in the Congress, and the Congress was kept in session up until some 3 o'clock in the morning to pass the Part D, which of the Medicare Act, and in that Part D, there was a specific prohibition to Medicare to negotiate for pharmaceutical prices. The pharmaceutical prices in this country are 40 to 50% higher than European prices or other developed nations, and they're going higher and higher. The pharmaceutical companies are the most profitable corporate organizations in this country relative to the comparable, I would say, to the oil industry. Hmm. And the prices are going up higher and higher, Sonali. I have a free clinic in Appalachia in Tennessee, and in this free clinic, we purchase medicines and provide them at free, at no cost to our patients. Just this past September, one of our commonly used antibiotics went from $70 in bulk to $700. Another drug, which was an oral hypoglycemic agent for individuals with diabetes, went from $13 to $318. These are unconscionable increases in cost of pharmaceuticals, and we have no real way to combat it or to control it. Hmm.
Now, let's talk about what, unfortunately, is the reality in Congress on the issue of Medicare. So many attacks over the years, actually from both parties, harsher attacks from Republicans. Of course, Paul Ryan, Representative Paul Ryan, thinks we should simply transform Medicare into a program that gives people vouchers that they can cash in anywhere they want to buy care. It's sort of similar to the Republican rhetoric on choice in, say, education, which would, of course, completely defund Medicare. But what's really also interesting is that the same people who use the rhetoric of free market competition are hampering Medicare from competing with insurance companies, right? Wouldn't free marketeers shouldn't they be happy with allowing anybody to enroll in Medicare and then letting the most competitive health program win?
Well, That leaves out the poor, and that's the problem that we have in this country, because...
Medicare would enroll. If Medicare was available to everybody, the poor could enroll without paying anything, and then Medicare would have probably a much bigger pool of people than even private companies, right?
And we would spread the risk...
Right.
Throughout the country, which is the basic nature of insurance. And the thing is that that approach may make sense from a market point of view, but health is not a marketable quality.
Tell us very briefly, we just have a minute left, the H.R. 676, the Expanded and Improved Medicare for All Act. There's a rally being held in D.C. today, attended by Bernie Sanders and John Conyers. What would H.R. 676 do? How important is it?
Well, it's a single payer plan, and the single payer would provide universal coverage with automatic enrollment, low administrative costs, because we would replace the health insurance industry and substitute cost-efficient central planning for market-based healthcare profiteering. That's what we were talking about a minute ago, is
right.
The profiteering. The term single payer means that one fund administered by a nonprofit government agency accountable to the public would make payment for all medical services.
And that's...
It would be comprehensive coverage without premiums, copays, or deductibles, maximum choice of doctor, hospital, improved quality through nationwide health information, expanded primary care, and publicly funded but privately delivered comprehensive medical care.
Dr. Garrett Adams, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. That's HR 676 that his organization and others are backing. My guest, Dr. Garrett Adams, is a longtime pediatrician in Louisville, Kentucky. He is past president of Physicians for National Health Program. He wrote an essay on Medicare entitled Celebrate Medicare's 50th Birthday by Expanding It to All. This is Uprising. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar.